Here are some reasons why doing Atkins has special advantages. As I've just said, it mobilizes more fat for use as energy than any diet you have ever encountered. This incredible advantage has been researched and validated. The controlled carbohydrate nutritional approach is not one of deprivation. Sheer hunger is the main reason for the failure of most weight loss efforts. A lifetime eating plan needs to be palatable, pleasant, and filling. You will have to abandon sugar and other refined carbohydrates such as white flour. But most people find that once they shake off the sugar addiction, they feel no strong desire to go back to it. Eating Atkins style is a food lover's dream come true. Luxurious, healthy, and varied. The Atkins nutritional approach is actually a continuum of four phases that transition seamlessly from one to the next. Phase one, known as induction, crashes you through most weight loss barriers and will generally introduce even the most metabolically resistant person to weight reduction. Phase two, ongoing weight loss, OWL, will carry you smoothly toward your goal. Phase three, pre-maintenance, eases you toward adopting permanently a new, healthier way of eating that, with a modest degree of diligence on your part, will allow you to stay slim forever. Phase four, lifetime maintenance, is the game plan that will keep those banished pounds at bay for the rest of your days. Let me state one crucial fact that you should always keep in mind. For people who comply with all four phases of Atkins, failure to maintain weight loss is very rare. Not only does Atkins not deprive you of the pleasure of eating, it energizes you and makes you feel just plain good. And those two things are definitely factors in keeping the weight off, because few people are willing to go back to feeling lousy once they've experienced the joys of feeling good. As a matter of fact, for about half the patients I see, the most compelling reason they continue to do Atkins is that they feel noticeably worse if they stop the program. Plus, when you're full of energy, you're more inclined to exercise, enhancing weight loss and replacing fat tissue with muscle, which will also help you cut inches from your measurements. People will see the change in you, enhancing your sense of accomplishment and self-respect. What's wrong with carbohydrates? If you mean what's wrong with a spear of broccoli or a bunch of spinach, the answer is nothing. They're magnificent foods. When I speak negatively of carbohydrates, I'm referring to the unhealthy ones, those lurking in the sugar bowl and the bin of white flour, along with milk, white rice, and processed and refined foods of all kinds. I also must include concentrates, such as fruit juices. During the weight loss phase of Atkins, even your intake of potentially healthy carbohydrates, such as fruits and whole grains, must be controlled. Once you've bid adieu to your extra pounds, you can return to fruits and some starches to the degree that they won't upset your metabolism and reactivate the cravings that result in weight gain. But the refined and processed foods I've just mentioned simply aren't good for you, ever. Am I advocating a high-fat diet? Not in the long run. As you increase the percentage of carbohydrates while advancing through the different phases of Atkins, the percentage and actual amount of fat you consume will diminish. However, as long as you are at the lower end of carbohydrate consumption, higher fat consumption poses no threat to your health. Let me give you a short history lesson. Eating meat, fish, and fowl isn't a health hardship. It's what humans have eaten for millions of years. People ate much the same way in the 19th century. They were beef and pork eaters, and their use of butter and eggs was unrestricted. In fact, the two most widely consumed fats of all were lard and beef tallow. In the crucial 60-year time span between 1910 and 1970, when coronary heart disease escalated from a yet-to-be-recognized problem to the killer of more than half the population, this is what happened to America's diet. The intake of animal fat and butter actually dropped a little, while the intake of cholesterol was not changed. Meanwhile, the intake of refined carbohydrates, mainly sugar, corn syrup, and white flour, escalated by 60%. To understand how the human diet in most of the world's developed countries has changed so drastically in the last century, let's take a short historical detour. Even before the onset of agriculture, the human animal was able, for millions of years, to remain strong and healthy in conditions of often savage deprivation by eating the fish and animals that scampered and swam around him, and the fruits and vegetables and berries that grew nearby. Without medicine, without expertise, without insulated housing or reliable heating, our species nonetheless survived. The fact that the dietary side of our primitive lifestyle was enormously healthy undoubtedly helped us. So what has caused the avalanche of degenerative diseases that now threaten the health of our species? 200 years ago, the average person ate less than 10 pounds of sugar a year, and white flour was used much less commonly. About 110 years ago, the lid blew off the sugar canister. In the 1890s, the craze for cola beverages swept the nation, which means that when we were thirsty and craved water, we got sugar as well. To make matters worse, the mills that could refine wheat into white, nutritionally barren flour were developed in the same decade. That was bad enough, but what's worse, once that flour met up with sweetness and saltiness, the junk food industry was off and running. The net result was that sugar intake, which had averaged 12 pounds a year per person in 1828, was nearly 10 times that in 1928. Remember, too, that if you don't take your sugar straight, you'll find it already sprinkled into 1,000 different foods and beverages before they come to your table. There are marked similarities in the diet eaten in all the world's developed countries. So for now, I'll just mention some statistics for the United States. Once you understand what healthy eating can be like, you'll find them as bizarre and shocking as I do. The latest Department of Agriculture statistics show that the average American consumed 124 pounds of caloric sweeteners, principally refined sugar and high fructose corn syrup, in 1975. By 1999, it had risen to 158 pounds. This translates into an average of nearly 750 calories from sugar a day, which means, by conservative reckoning, over one-third of all the calories an adult puts into his or her body each day comes from nutritionally empty and metabolically harmful caloric sweeteners. Those figures represent 190 grams of sugar and corn syrup a day. Compare that with the 300 grams of carbohydrate the government expects us to consume each day, and we see that sugar now comprises over 60% of the carbohydrate total. Sugar has no nutritional value and is directly harmful to your health. Despite vociferous attempts to defend it, there are studies that clearly show how harmful, and even deadly in the case of diabetics, its effects can be. I won't go into hyperinsulinism now, but I'll discuss it later. For now, simply remember this. Diets high in sugar and other refined carbohydrates radically increase the body's production of insulin, and insulin is the best single index of adiposity. That final word is medical jargon for fat. Sugar, you see, activates certain metabolic processes that are both harmful to your health and folly for your waistline. Sugar is a metabolic poison. You could, of course, ignore this fact and attempt to control your weight by calorie counting and deprivation. That is, you could direct yourself to the quantity instead of the quality of your diet. That's pretty much what conventional diets advise. However, the likelihood that you'll permanently lose weight by controlling your caloric intake is almost nil. The whole problem of sugar was compounded by the low-fat messages we were wrongly bombarded with during the 1980s and 1990s. To make a low-fat product taste good, manufacturers add lots of sugar. Now, in the United States, the aisles in the supermarket are crammed with low-fat or diet cookies and crackers, ice cream, frozen cakes and pies, soft drinks, and white bread filled with sugar. The United States has low-fatted and dieted itself to a raging epidemic of obesity and diabetes. This is not real food. It's invented, fake food. It's filled with sugar and highly refined carbohydrates and with chemically altered trans fats. They're listed as hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oil on food labels, not to mention plenty of other chemical additives. For thousands of years, human beings were in luck. None of this food existed. Now we're stuck with it. Because it's incredibly profitable, it's also widely distributed. But there isn't a person on this planet who should be eating it. What are we to do? If you want to be slim and vigorous, you can't eat as I've described. But you can eat the natural, healthy, unrefined animal and vegetable foods that people ate and grew robust on in centuries past. Nor do you have to eat like a rabbit. You can eat like a human being. You can enjoy fish, lamb, steak and lobster, nuts and berries, cheese, eggs and butter, along with a wonderful variety of salad greens and other vegetables. In fact, in the 10 years since the first edition of this book was published, one of my personal wishes has been granted. Today, a person choosing to follow a controlled carbohydrate nutritional approach has almost as many packaged and prepared food options as people who are, unwittingly, following a low-fat diet. Visit your local natural food store, drugstore, supermarket, or even mass market store, and you'll see the wide variety of food products available to someone who understands the benefits of controlled carbohydrate nutrition. Advances in scientific understanding have paved the way for alternatives to foods that are high in carbohydrates. Foods such as pasta, bread, muffins, cakes, candy, and even ice cream, not to mention the wide variety of energy bars and ready-to-drink shakes. On all four phases of Atkins, you select from an increasingly liberal array of foods that are sources of the healthy carbohydrates. Your overall intake of them also gradually increases. Once you've reached your goal weight, you can eat larger helpings of healthy carbohydrate foods, as long as you stay below the critical carbohydrate level for maintenance, CCLM, which will be explained later on in this recording. In simple terms, this means knowing and adhering to a threshold of carbohydrate intake that allows you to neither gain nor lose weight. It's worth mentioning that each person has an individual threshold, depending upon age, level of physical activity, and other factors. Common sense dictates that when a lot of people try the same answer to the same problem, and most of them fail, there's something wrong with their solution. You may have tried a low-fat diet. I'm sure you've seen other people try one. After a promising start, they often end up as failures. Only people with remarkable self-discipline, or those who really don't get pleasure from eating, are likely to succeed on low-fat diets. Atkins represents a completely different way. When you do Atkins, you eliminate virtually all refined sugar and flour and processed foods. Instead, you're in an alliance with Mother Nature, who really did provide for us very well. You bought this recording to lose weight, and I'm going to have to make you healthier too. When doing Atkins, you couldn't separate those results, even if you wanted to.